أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Qiyama clothes.
Today we will look at Surah number 88, which is Suratul Ghashiyah. Now, Ghashiyah literally means that which covers entirely. The name denotes an all-encompassing phenomenon that will engulf all creation. Unlike other natural phenomena that only affect a limited area, example floods or earthquakes or sunlight, which only covers half of the earth at any given time, perhaps this overwhelming event is more akin to something like gravity because it affects the entire planet. So literally the day which will cover and overwhelm the earth entirely and everything will stop working. Just a little preamble. In Suratul A'la, we saw two kinds of people who will go to Jahannam and two kinds of people who will go to Jannah. And then it ended with those who preferred the dunya over the akhirah. Now here there's an elaboration of the people mentioned in A'la and they are discussed here. So let's look at the focus first. The focus of Suratul Ghashiyah is literally there's a tour of Jahannam and a tour of Jannah and their inmates. And then we find that the Prophet is a reminder of the truth. In Ayah 21, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. The Prophet is told, remind them. And we talked about reminders in Suratul A'la. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. For truly you are a reminder. So let's look at the first ayah, which is literally the first section. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Has the news of the overwhelming event come to you? It's a rhetorical question. It's a calamity of the hereafter as a warning to those who don't invest at all in the akhirah. Hadith in essence means something that is new and at least in this case unprecedented. And so this event will cast a shadow on all events, all aspirations, all goals, everything. Now let's move to the second section, which tells us the character and the fate of the deniers of divinity and those who denied accountability as well. In essence, the second section is a tour of Jahannam. Allah says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِيَةٌ. Some faces on that day shall be in extreme fear. In other words, they'll be overwhelmed with fear. Like withered flowers, their heads will be lowered because they are in a state of disgrace. Now the next ayah explains why these people are so despondent on that day. Allah says, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. They've been working hard. They're tired. They're weary. Overwhelmed by exhaustion illustrates work on Qiyamah. Exhausting themselves doing something. Accounting, standing, trying to find refuge. It could be their total non-striving in the world for work that was not akhirah related. They became their careers. Nasiba literally means pegged in or unstable. You want to just crash out after total exhaustion. So they realize that all of their efforts have been in vain and will not benefit them at all. Allah continues, Tasla naran hamia. They will be throwing themselves on the fire. Tusqa min aynin ania. They will be made to drink from a boiling spring. Once again, we must imagine the culture of the desert Arabs and their constant lack of water. Sometimes for hundreds of miles, there may have been only one little oasis, one spring. Nourishment was scarce for them, the principal source being springs. A boiling drink cannot quench one's thirst and only increases one's agitation. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. They will have no food except for bitter thorns. See, dhari is a thorny, poisonous plant that even animals do not approach. When the Prophet was asked, what is dhari? He said, it's a thorny plant that tastes most bitter, smells putrid, and has no value. It causes turmoil and difficulty with no benefit and doesn't provide sustenance. This is the meaning of agitation. And he continues to say, la yusminu wa la yughni min ju'. It will not fatten them. In other words, it has no nutritional value, nor will there be any relief from hunger. Now, by contrast, let's see the next section, which is Ayah 8 to 16. This is the character and fate of those who are blessed. In other words, those who submitted to divinity. And so we see the tour of Jannah. So So ayah 8 says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَعِذٍ نَعِمَةٌ. Other faces on that day will be happy. Na'ima is there's a softness, an ease, a relaxation. Compare that with the exhaustion. Na'im is a face that you make when you're given a gift. And Allah says, لِسَعِيهَا رَاضِيَةٌ. They will be well pleased with their striving to reach their full potential. We all know sa'i, a fast-paced walk when you're trying to meet a deadline. In other words, they will be thankful for the opportunity to serve, to strive. Now let's see where they will be. Fi jannatin aliya. They will be in a lofty, high garden, akin to penthouses. Ironically, high gardens are also ghashiya, sort of a lush covering of beautiful scenery. Views from above are always awesome. La tasma'u fiha laghiya. Where they will not hear any unsuitable talk. Laghiya is words which make you uncomfortable, nonsense, vulgar talk. Lugha means language, which is of course a tool for communicating meaning and sense. So by extension, those who kept away from nonsensical and useless talk in this world will not be subjected to it in the hereafter. If someone treats them in an unpleasant fashion, they remain silent, they don't reciprocate in kind, and just go on their way with dignity. The Quran cites this as one of the characteristics of believers, because goal-oriented people avoid frivolous deeds. And then it continues, فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةٌ. Within it is a flowing spring. So let's look at the whole picture. In a penthouse, beautiful sights, no nonsensical talk, and then it includes water. Compare this in contrast with the fire, with the boiling water. And the flowing here implies that it isn't stagnant, it's always fresh. He continues, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةٌ. Within it are raised settees or couches. See, sarir in modern Arabic is a bed. In ancient Arabic, it's a settee, something to sit on. The nomadic lifestyle of the Arabs meant sitting on the floor, and a settee was for those who didn't have to travel. So in essence, it implied stability. Marfu'a is that which has been elevated, basically custom-made for you. So divinity designs bespoke residence for you in Jannah. وَأَقْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ. And drinking cups that are readily placed. Each person's goblet is filled in due proportion, mawdu'a, on the basis of what he or she has earned in this life. Every comfort and replenishment is available, every desire is fulfilled. وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَ. And cushions that are set in rows. Namariq is a small pillow. This denotes relaxation. وَزَرَابِيُ مَبْثُوثَ. And exclusive rugs spread as far as the eye can see. Mabthutha comes from the root batha, meaning to disperse, to scatter, to spread out. So the metaphor is like having to look at rich rugs and carpets scattered all around in a garden within which clusters of people in different states of tranquility and comfort can relax. These tours and messages are intended to sharpen the reflective capacity to understand the future of humanity and what awaits it in the hereafter. The metaphorical language is to impress upon us as human beings that an enormous event beyond our comprehension will occur at an unknown time that will split humanity into two distinct groups. Those who destroyed themselves and as a result will be humiliated and deprived, and then those who will be blissfully happy due to what they have sent ahead. And now we go to the fourth section, where there's a reflection on creation. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at the camels? How they are created? Now why the camel? Remember, the Arab was highly dependent on camels. The camel is an awesome creation when we look at its storage of food, its survival without water for days, how all parts of it are beneficial. And a huge and powerful animal, yet obedient to its master, even if the master was a child. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And towards the sky, how it was raised. Remember, it will tear on Qiyamah. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And at the mountains, how they are rooted and fixed firmly. And these will be unstable on Qiyamah. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ.
and the earth, how it is spread out. So finally, it asks the Arabs to reflect upon the land spread out around them. The previous four verses reminded the readers of four indispensable elements, namely a means of transportation, the sky, the mountains, and the earth. And finally, the last section, informing the Prophet of what he should do if people reject or ignore his teachings. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر. So remind them, O Muhammad, your only task is to be a reminder. Remind them of the past. Remind them where they came from. Remind them of the future. Remind them of where they're going. Remind them of their inner soul and the consequences of their actions. To remind is to call attention to what one already knows. Knowledge is already there in our fitrah, in our innate nature, in the heart. The Prophet is the one who reflects and echoes the truth of each one of us. And then he's told, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ. You are not in charge of them. Musaytir is one who monitors and records everything about one he's in charge of. In other words, he's told, you are not a controller. And finally, إِلَّا مَنْ تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرْ. As for him who rejects and turns away, فَيُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ عَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرِ. Allah will punish him with the greatest torment. And this is for turning away from the reminder and denying it. And finally, إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ. Indeed, it is only to us they will return. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. Then indeed upon us is the taking of their accounting. So the surah begins by announcing the advent of this enormous event, this overwhelming event, and ends by reminding us that Allah will scrutinize and take account of our conduct in this world. So the key takeaways of the surah are tours of Jahannam and Jannah, but that the Prophet is a reminder of the truth, just as we saw in Surah Al-A'la. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the Ahlul Jannah. Rabbana. تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم